I've got a large lemonade refresher, and I suggest you grab your caffeine delivery system of choice too, because we need to have a serious talk about the changes to the state of your privacy. If you've driven pretty much anywhere in the last couple years, you may have noticed something new. It's not a new pothole or a new Starbucks. It's a black solar-powered camera mounted on a simple metal pole. It looks a bit like an Orwellian sunflower turning its face towards the road. It's sleek, industrial, unassuming, and it's usually sitting right at the entrance of a subdivision, quietly blinking away. That, my friends, is a flock safety camera. And if your homeowners association hasn't proposed buying one yet, give it a month. They will. The brochure is probably already in the board president's inbox. The sales pitch is incredibly seductive, and it goes something like this. We can eliminate crime. We can stop porch pirates. We can catch the guys breaking into cars, and we can protect the children. Because who doesn't want to protect the children? Who likes crime? Nobody. But behind that slick marketing pitch is a company building what privacy advocates, civil rights lawyers, and even some nervous lawmakers are calling a privately owned, nationwide mass surveillance dragnet that's effectively bypassing the Fourth Amendment. But it's not just subdivisions, though. These cameras are popping up in parks, roadways, parking lots, shopping centers, and pretty much everywhere else. It's not just HOAs and landlords leasing these things either. It's also law enforcement. Think this isn't your town? Go to deflock.org and see how many of these things are near you. You'll be shocked. Today, we're going to do a deep dive. We're not just skimming the surface, we're looking under the hood. We're going to talk about who Flock Safety is, how their technology actually works, the scandals they've already been embroiled in, and why your daily commute is being logged into a database that, spoiler alert, is accessible to people who definitely have no business knowing where you're going. If you care about privacy, safety, or just want to know who you need to cancel next, this video is for you. Welcome back to Dad Ruins Everything. Today, I ruin Flock Safety's mesh surveillance camera network. We're going to start with the basics. Who are these guys? Flock Safety is a tech company founded in 2017. Their founder, Garrett Langley, is a tech entrepreneur who saw an opportunity. The story goes that he was frustrated by a petty crime in his neighborhood and realized that police couldn't solve most of it because they lacked the evidence. His solution? Automated license plate recognition, or ALPR. Now I can hear the tech-savvy viewers in the comments already. Dad, ALPR isn't new. Police cruisers have had those big bulky cameras on their fenders or trunks for decades. And you're right, ALPR isn't new. But traditional ALPR was expensive, ugly, and hard to maintain. It required hardwired power, server infrastructure, and IT resources to stand it up and maintain it. It was a tool for the state, for big cities, and for highway patrol. Then Flock did for license plate readers what Ring did for doorbells. They brought it down to the consumer level. They built the Flock Falcon. Here it is, in all of its glory. It's a proprietary camera that is solar-powered. It has its own panel and battery, so you can stick it anywhere with sunlight. No digging trenches for power lines. It is cellular connected. It uses an LTE cellular connection to upload data instantly to the cloud. No running Ethernet cables or fiber. And it's cheap. This is the kicker. They lease them for roughly $2,500 to $3,000 per camera per year. That may not sound cheap to you. And the actual bill of material is way less than $100. But that price point is revolutionary in the government contracting world. Usually, police tech costs millions, but $2,500? That's a rounding error. That's low enough that a small-town police chief can sign off on it without a city council vote. It's cheap enough that a modest HOA can buy three of them out of their reserve fund without assessing the residents. And the leasing part is genius, because it creates a revenue stream for Flock. As with everything else, they are pushing people from one-time acquisition costs to recurring security as a service billing. We're going to see, though, how the lack of clear ownership creates implementation, security, and accountability problems that put everyone at risk. This is a screenshot from Flock's website. Flock has a very specific mission statement that you need to hear. It's not to reduce crime, and it's not to help the police. It is, quote, to solve and eliminate crime. That is a bold, absolute claim. To eliminate crime requires a level of omniscience that should make anyone who has read George Orwell's 1984 slightly uncomfortable. Because the cameras are so cheap and easy to install, they aren't just leased to police departments. This is an important part of their business model. They aggressively market to private entities like homeowners associations, apartment complexes, shopping malls, schools and universities, construction sites, and individual business owners. They have effectively crowdsourced the funding for a police surveillance network. Instead of the taxpayer funding the police department to lease the cameras, the police convince the HOA to lease the cameras, and then the HOA gives the data to the police for free. It's good business, I guess. Flock Safety is valued at $7.5 billion, but it's a privacy nightmare. IP cameras aren't anything new. In fact, the hardware hasn't changed much since video compression moved to H.265 some years back. The components have improved a little, with onboard ARM or RISC-V processing getting a little bit faster, video quality getting a little bit better, and overall power usage lowering, along with general miniaturization. Flock has capitalized on these improvements. While cellular connectivity and solar plus battery power are not anything new to cameras in general, Flock has combined these with edge processing to create cameras that can go anywhere and output more than just video. AI video characterization has been available for years, doing things like human detection, ingress and egress differentiation, and even face identification. But Flock has taken this to the next level. So, what happens when you drive past one of these things? Unlike a standard IP camera that records a fuzzy video of a blob walking past your house at 2 a.m., Flock cameras use the video to extract and create additional data in real time. They're not just recording 24/7 video. They are motion-triggered stalkers. When a vehicle enters the frame, the camera wakes up, snaps a series of high-resolution photos, and the onboard processor goes to work. It doesn't just read the numbers on your plate. It uses a subset of AI called machine learning to build what they call a vehicle fingerprint. The AI analyzes the image and extracts the license plate, like the state and the characters, even with paper tags. It extracts the make, like Ford, Honda, or Toyota. It extracts the model, F-150, Civic, Camry. It extracts the color, red, silver, black. And it extracts any distinguishing features. And this is the scary part. It looks for roof racks, bumper stickers, aftermarket wheels, dents, and decals. In addition to the AI extracted items, it also records context, the time of day, the GPS coordinates, and the direction of travel. Why does this matter? Let's say a crime happens. A witness tells the police, "I saw a red truck with a roof LED strip light leaving the scene. They didn't get the plate." In the old days, that lead is dead. There are thousands of red trucks. If it's a really bad crime, maybe the police see if any cameras in the possible areas of travel caught anything. With Flock, the detective opens the search bar and types in vehicle, truck, plus color, red, plus feature, roof LED strip light. The system pulls up every red truck with a roof-mounted LED light that passed the camera in that area in the last hour. Boom. They have the plate. They have the time. They have the ID. This data is uploaded to Amazon Web Services, and by default, it's stored for 30 days. If the car is on a hot list, which we will talk about in a minute, the camera sends an alert to the local police dispatch in roughly 15 to 30 seconds. On paper, that sounds amazing. It definitely seems like more crimes would be solved, but we need to talk about the network. Because the magic of Flock isn't the hardware. I've already told you that the cameras aren't particularly special. It's the software ecosystem. When a police department signs up for Flock, or when an HOA signs up, they get access to the TAL operating system, named for the sheer speed of the Falcon. How cute. Here's the critical part your HOA board probably doesn't understand. Sharing settings. Of course, Flock encourages a network effect. If I'm the HOA president of Wisteria Lane and I buy four cameras, I have a choice. I can keep that data private just for our security guard. Or I can check a box that says share with local law enforcement. Flock sales reps push this hard. Don't you want the police to know immediately if a stolen car enters your neighborhood? Why, yes. So, almost everyone checks the box. Now, let's zoom out. The local police department, let's say the Fairview Police, has access to the HOA cameras. But the Fairview Police also have their own cameras, and they have a sharing agreement with the county sheriff. And the county sheriff shares with the state police, and the state police shares with neighboring states. This creates a federated searchable database. A police officer in Atlanta could potentially search for a vehicle, and if the sharing settings are enabled correctly, they can see that the vehicle was spotted by a playground camera in Nashville, a police camera in Memphis, and a shopping mall camera in Little Rock. It effectively deletes jurisdictional boundaries. It creates a continuous, searchable history of movement across the country. Every Flock camera downloads a list of wanted plates every few hours. This usually comes from the NCIC or National Crime Information Center database. This includes stolen vehicles, Amber Alerts, Silver Alerts, felony warrants associated with a vehicle, and terror watch lists. If a car on that list drives past your HOA's cameras, the system screams, the police get a ping, stolen vehicle, 2018 Toyota Camry entering Wisteria Lane North Gate. Again, for serious crimes, this is undeniably effective. They recover stolen cars constantly, they've found missing children. I am not here to tell you that the tech doesn't work. But if you were under the impression that this was just about license plate reading on steroids, wait until I tell you about some of the broader problems. You see, the software can identify associates by linking vehicle fingerprints that consistently travel together, possibly mapping your social network and associations. The software can also automatically establish your travel patterns and regular stops, giving law enforcement predictive power on your whereabouts. In well-documented incidents, it gives bad actors the same capabilities. Ultimately, I think it's difficult for many people to care about license plate readers, even sophisticated ones using AI and mesh networks. Plenty of people don't drive, and many that do don't necessarily care about being tracked. But even those people should care about this thing. It's a Flock Condor. There are at least a few models within this camera product line. It's like the fixed Flock license plate reader cameras, except it zooms in on and tracks people and other moving objects. That same search capability I covered for vehicles? Yes, they have it for people too. You may be okay with the system collecting information on criminals, improving the speed and solve rate of criminal investigations. But what about the other 99.9% of the data, which is being collected without a warrant on people who are not suspected of doing anything wrong? You know, people driving to work, walking to their doctor, biking to church, or attending a protest. But Dad, I hear you ask, I haven't done anything wrong. Why should I care if they know I went to Kroger? Nothing to hide, nothing to fear is the most common argument. It's also incredibly naive. Let me explain why this is a dangerous fallacy using something called mosaic theory. In the United States, we have the Fourth Amendment. It's intended to protect us from unreasonable search and seizure. In United States v. Jones, the Supreme Court ruled that police needed a warrant to slap a GPS tracker on your car. Tracking your every move is considered invasive enough to require judicial oversight. However, the courts have also ruled that you have no reasonable expectation of privacy on a public road. This is the plain view doctrine. If you drive down Main Street, a cop can see you. A neighbor can see you. Therefore, a camera can see you. Flock exploits this loophole. They argue that their cameras are just taking pictures of public events. But when you stitch millions of these public pictures together, you create a mosaic. One tile, a picture of you at a grocery store, is harmless. But 1,000 tiles reveal the whole picture of your life. They know you leave for work at 7:15 a.m. They know which Starbucks you arrive at 7:35. They know you sleep at your girlfriend's house on Tuesdays. They know you get a haircut every 4 weeks. They know you attend AA meetings at the church on 5th Street. They also know if you went to a sex shop, a gun show, a political rally, or a dispensary. By aggregating this data, Flock has created a warrantless GPS tracker for every vehicle in the network. The police don't need a judge to sign off on seeing where you've been for the last 30 days. They just need to log in and type in your license plate number. A huge problem is that we're relying on some judges to interpret a document that's hundreds of years old. We don't need that. We need modern laws that protect people, their privacy, and place limits on surveillance of law-abiding citizens. Much like in Jones, in Carpenter v. the United States, the Supreme Court ruled that police needed a warrant to access historical cell phone location data because it provided an all-encompassing record of a person's movements. In Massachusetts versus McCarthy, the court ruled that while limited use of license plate readers is fine, a widespread network that tracks the whole of a person's public movements would constitute a search requiring a warrant. They didn't define exactly how many cameras would constitute widespread, leaving the door wide open for future lawsuits. In the United States versus Yang in the Ninth Circuit, the court noted that if a technology allows for comprehensive tracking that is indistinguishable from GPS monitoring, it may require a warrant. And while this case law is great, all it takes is one case to undo this fragile dam. The legal problem gets worse with retroactive surveillance. If the police put a GPS tracker on your car today, they could only see where you go from now on. But with Flock, if you become a person of interest today, they can look backward in time. They can see where you were 3 weeks ago. They can see who visited your house last month. They can run a convoy analysis, which I mentioned earlier, to ask, show me any cars that have been traveling near the suspect's car for the last 2 days. Suddenly, your friend who was just following you to a restaurant is flagged in a police database as an associate of a suspect. I don't think I'd be interested in this system, even if it were run by and used by the most ethical people possible. But it's run by humans, and humans are prone to error, bias, corruption, and political pressure. And while it's not fair to use too wide a brush, it is completely fair and accurate to say that our best efforts haven't prevented some law enforcement workers from basically being criminals in uniform, driving around in taxpayer-funded cars. Maybe, if we fix that problem, we can talk about the presumption of ethical use of powerful surveillance tools. We're not talking about theoretical bad apples. Let me elucidate a few examples. Number 1. The Ketchy, Kansas Stalking Incident. In 2022, a police lieutenant in Ketchy, Kansas was arrested. Why? Well, he was using the Flock safety system, the system paid for by taxpayers to protect them, to stalk his ex-girlfriend and her new partner. He was logging in, tracking their movements, and showing up where they were. He was using the ultimate stalker tool provided by the state. This highlights the insider threat. There are thousands of officers with access to the system. Domestic abuse is a statistically significant issue with law enforcement families. Giving abusers a tool to track their victims without a warrant is kind of catastrophic. 2. The missing person abortion case. This is where things get political and terrifying. In a post-Roe America, traveling for healthcare has become a legal minefield. In 2024, it was revealed that a sheriff's office used the Flock system to track a woman traveling out of state. To bypass restrictions in the Flock system, they listed her as a missing person in the NCIC database. This triggered the cameras to ping her location. The thing is, she wasn't missing. She was allegedly seeking reproductive health care. The system was weaponized to enforce a moral or legal code by manipulating the safety features. This proves that once the infrastructure is built, it will be used for whatever the current political priority is. Today, it's abortion. Tomorrow, who knows? Maybe it's tracking people going to a protest. Maybe it's tracking people buying certain books. Number 3. More stalking, this time in Wisconsin. Christian Morales, a 31-year-old police officer with the Menasha Police Department, improperly used Flock system to stalk a victim and their family. 7 improper searches. He was only caught after the victim went to the police and complained. Now he's facing up to 42 months in prison. Number 4. In Braselton, Georgia, Police Chief Michael Steffman was booked and charged for using Flock cameras to stalk and harass multiple people. He ran more than 2,700 searches in about 100 days on about 40 plates. That's over 60 searches per plate, assuming they were evenly split, which I'm sure they weren't. Number 5. The ICE connection. Flock officially states that they don't work with Immigration and Customs Enforcement for deportation operations. They say that their terms of service prohibit it. However, independent investigations by groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation found that local police departments were simply sharing their Flock data with federal agencies via joint task forces. So, your local liberal city council may declare itself a sanctuary city, but if the local PD shares data with the county sheriff and the sheriff works with ICE, the data flows up. that camera your HOA installed to stop teenagers from stealing pool furniture, it might be feeding data into a federal deportation dragnet. These are just some of the well-documented cases of abuse and criminality. I could go on and on and on, but I don't think you want me to beat that dead horse. Cheval. There appear to be even worse safeguards in place, in many jurisdictions anyway, than there are for accessing the state license plate database. And just so you know, those safeguards are in place because of decades of abuse and criminality by law enforcement with that system. I've talked about the police, but what about the actual bad guys? Flock Safety claims that their data is encrypted and secure. And to be fair, they have better security than your average cheap webcam. But anything that lives on the internet can be hacked. The thing, though, is that you don't actually have to hack thousands upon thousands of these cameras. Many of them were never set up properly in the first place. And who is responsible for this? Flock Safety will tell you that it's whomever is leasing the camera. The people who lease the camera will just tell you that they're not IT people. Although some of them are getting there, since they're following awesome tutorials on setting up Pi-hole. Right now, you and I can look at the thousands of unsecured Flock camera feeds. You can also see historical video. At least three of the cameras in my little town are unsecured, and that's half of the Flock cameras in my area that are on DFlock. For the cameras that aren't completely wide open, there are reports of credentials for ALPR systems appearing on the dark web. If a reasonably able computer user compromises a police department's IT system, which happens with shocking frequency, by the way, they could potentially gain access to the Flock portal. That's not just the cameras, that's the search tools too. Imagine criminals having access to this. They could track high-value targets to see where they live and where they travel. They could track shipments of expensive goods. They could find people in witness protection. It's just a matter of time. There are already technology communicators that have combined the elements of open Flock camera access, historical video on the cameras, and open-source facial recognition software to demonstrate how normal people can stalk almost anyone. At this point, it doesn't really matter if this is an unintended consequence of poor Flock camera implementations. There needs to be meaningful protection of people's privacy and real consequences for failing to safeguard these installations and their data. If all of this wasn't enough, we need to zoom out and look at the philosophical problem here. Look at this thing. It's a panopticon. It was never built in real life, but with this prison design, the guard can see every prisoner, but the prisoners can't see the guard. Because the prisoners never know if they're being watched at that exact second, they have to act as though they were always being watched. Flock creates a digital panopticon anywhere it's present. The Hawthorne effect is a bit more modern than panopticism, but the two are similar. Possible observation changes our identity, and observation changes our behavior. If you know your car is being tracked, do you drive to that political rally? Do you park at that mental health clinic? Do you meet that whistleblower in the park? Privacy isn't about hiding crimes. Privacy is the right to make mistakes, to explore, and to live without judgment. Anyone that talks about freedom but tries to tell you that privacy isn't a key component to that freedom is an idiot. When we hand over our movement data to a private company, like Flock, which then hands it to the government, we are bypassing the checks and balances designed to keep us free. We are crowdsourcing Big Brother. The government can't afford to put a camera on every corner. But we can, collectively. And we're doing it to ourselves, paying $2,500 a year for the privilege. We've made it this far in the video, and I've concealed the geometry of the problem. Flock Safety has shipped between 100,000 and 200,000 of their cameras. To put that in some perspective, there are 3,143 counties in the United States. Out at ALPRanalysis.com, you can see that these cameras may be in as many as 3,128 counties, or 99.5% of all counties in the United States, in all 50 states, and in the District of Columbia. Here's what my little county looks like. And that's terrifying because I live in the middle of nowhere. At this point, the inevitable question would be, is there any hope? Actually, yes. People are waking up and we're starting to see massive backlash against ALPRs. This is coming in the form of HOA rebellions, Across the country, residents are organizing, they're showing up to HOA meetings, and they're voting down Flock contracts. The arguments that work here are property values. I don't want to live in a neighborhood that feels like a prison camp. It lowers the appeal to privacy-conscious buyers. Liability. If our HOA shares data with the police and that data is used to hurt somebody, like in any of the cases that I cited, is the HOA liable? And cost. Why are we paying $10,000 a year for cameras when our roads need repaving? All of these are compelling arguments. Next, we have city bans and moratoriums. Cities like Santa Cruz, California, and several others have frozen or canceled their contracts. In many cases, audits revealed that police were sharing data with out-of-state agencies in violation of city ordinances. The city councils got mad and pulled the plug. Some states, like New Hampshire, have very strict laws on ALPR use, effectively banning the private-to-police pipeline in many scenarios. Then there's the lawsuits. The heavy hitters are getting involved. The American Civil Liberties Union and the Institute for Justice are fighting battles in court. There is a major case in Norfolk, Virginia, where they are arguing that this warrantless 24/7 tracking is unconstitutional. They're trying to get the Supreme Court to update the Jones ruling to say, hey, aggregating millions of license plate reads is actually a search, and you need a warrant for it. So what's your action plan? Because all that is great, but what can you do? You're just one person. Well, here is your data-proof checklist for dealing with Flock safety. Step 1. Audit your neighborhood. Drive around. Look at the entrances to your subdivision. Look for the black camera on the pole. If you see one, you need to find out who owns it. Is it the city? Or is it your HOA? Make sure that you put it on dflock.com. Step 2. Go to the meeting. If it's your HOA, go to the next board meeting. Ask these specific questions. 1. What is our data retention policy? The default is 30 days. Can we lower it to 3 days? 2. Who has access to the search portal? Is it just the management company, the board president, random volunteers? 3. Who are we sharing this data with? Ask to see the transparency portal. Flock offers this, but HOAs rarely publicize it. It shows exactly which police departments are receiving your data. And 4. Can I opt out? Flock has a safe list feature where residents can theoretically opt out of being flagged. Most HOAs will not tell you this exists. Step 3. Push for policy, not just bans. If you can't get rid of the cameras, push for guardrails. Demand that the HOA signs a binding policy that says, we will not share data with out-of-state agencies. We will not allow ICE access. We will audit the search logs monthly to ensure no board members are stalking their neighbors. Step 4. Protect yourself. On a personal level, there isn't much you can do to be invisible to ALPRs without breaking the law. For example, don't cover your plate with plastic. That's illegal. But you can support organizations like the Electronic Frontier Foundation and American Civil Liberties Union, who are fighting this at the legislative level. You can also go to ALPR.watch to try to see when technology like Flock cameras is going to be discussed in your area. We live in a world that sells us fear 24/7. The news tells you crime is rampant, even when statistics show it's down in many areas. Social media tells you that your neighbors are enemies. And companies like Flock Safety swoop in and say, for just $2,500, we can make the fear go away. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And while that's probably right, it doesn't change the fact that this is a problem where a tiny number of people, relatively speaking, are making decisions that affect us all. Flock cameras are a technological marvel. They are also a civil liberties disaster that's been happening for a half a decade. They turn our neighborhoods into checkpoints. They turn our neighbors into suspects. And they build a database that no government should possess without a warrant. If you care about keeping the private in private property, it's time to start paying attention to the little black camera at the end of your street. Lest you think that I am also dealing in fear, I am going to offer you a ray of hope. Recently, Amazon ran Super Bowl commercials that touted a search party feature that used AI and data from their Ring cameras to locate lost pets. This was through a collaboration between Amazon and, yeah, Flock Safety. Not good. Well, enough people were educated on the disaster potential of this union that there was some public outrage. It wasn't very widespread, but it was loud. The results were this face-saving post. Less than a week after the Super Bowl, the partnership was dissolved. We did that, and we can do more. But it starts with getting the word out. So if you learned something new, or you just realized what that weird poll in your neighborhood is, hit the like button. Share this with anyone that doesn't already know about these cameras. Subscribe for more deep dives into the tech that's watching you and destroying your privacy. And if you want to support the channel, feel free to join as a member. Also, check out the links below for the ACLU's guide on how to oppose surveillance in your town. Stay safe, stay private, and keep your eyes on the road and the polls. See you next time, and have a surveillance-free day, to the degree that that's possible.